Thank you very much indeed, Sue. Now we're going to turn to our Bibles and to Psalm 18. And I'm going to ask Andrew to come and help me with this.
Psalm 18, beginning in verse 1, says, I love you, Lord, my strength.
The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold.
I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies.
The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me.
In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky.
Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. Great bolts of lightning routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth lay bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils.
He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me.
The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight.
To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure, but to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help I can advance against a troop. With my God I can scale a wall.
As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God?
It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn over.
I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so that they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them, to the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as dust borne on the wind. I poured them out like mud on the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of the people. You have made me the head of nations. People I did not know now are subject to me. As soon as they hear me, they obey me. Foreigners cringe before me. They all lose heart. They come trembling from their strongholds.
The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From violent men you rescued me. Therefore, I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing the praises to your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing love to his anointed, to David, and to his descendants forever.
Right. Thank you.
My, that is a very big psalm, isn't it? We're not going to be able to look at every phrase in that psalm, but when we look at this psalm, we see that it is a story. And if you were to tell your story in a song, what would the song sound like? What would your song be like? How would the story unfold as you sang about what God had done in your life? This is what this is, the story of David's life. And almost the whole psalm, apart from verse 1, appears in 2 Samuel 22, towards the end of the account of David's life, when he kind of got to the end of all the battles within himself and the battles with those outside of him. This is his story. It is his song. Now, in this psalm, we have one of these little headings that comes before the psalm, 14 of these in the book of Psalms, and we have the little heading for the director of music of David, the servant of the Lord. He sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, or as someone translated it, for the lead player, for the Lord's servant, for David, who spoke the Lord's words of this song on the day the Lord saved him from the grasp of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. It's a really long introduction, really long heading to the psalm, because it reminds us that the whole story of David's life is here. One song, the whole story. I don't know if any of you have heard that song by Johnny Cash, Hurt. It's actually written by a group called Nine Inch Nails. And there's a video of the song, and it kind of has flickering through the video scenes from Johnny Cash's life. Johnny Cash is older at this point. He's approaching death. And after he dies, his daughter says, when we saw the video, we realized that he was singing his story of life and, in fact, singing his obituary. David is giving us in Psalm 18 the story of his life, his biography. Now, lots of songs are stories, aren't they? And this is David's story. And maybe you associate different songs with different stories, as Sue has this evening. We think of some of the most famous Christian songs, Amazing Grace. We all know the connection between that song and the story of John Newton, who had been a slave trader, who had been a slave, who had been a spiritual slave, lost, but then found, blind, and then seeing. Or the story of When Peace Like a River, the song written by a man who received a telegram to say that his wife and children, who were coming across the Atlantic to meet him, had all been lost. All are lost, was what the telegram said. And he sat down and he wrote the song, When Peace like a river attendeth my way. With the refrain, it is well. It is well with my soul. An astonishing story. An astonishing depth of confidence in the living God at such a moment. Or the story of the modern song, when the music fades. Matt Redman talking about the congregation of Soul Survivor in Watford that become a little bit too big for their boots, proud of their songs and their music, and deciding that they would have no music, no songs, for several weeks. And then finally, Matt turning up on a Sunday morning with just his acoustic guitar and singing When the Music Fades. That we bring you more than a song. They'd realised that it wasn't just about a song and cool music. It was about a heart in tune with God. Or, again, one of Matt Redman's songs, Blessed Be Your Name, written when he and his wife Beth were living in New York for a little while, after they had experienced a miscarriage and after the events of 9/11. And he writes about the way that God's name is blessed, even in times of challenge and difficulty, because ultimately we've got nowhere else to go. So the writer of When Peace Like a River and Blessed Be Your Name, in a sense, coming to the same conclusion, that when you lose everything, you have to realise that what you have in God is more than everything. Or you are lost, aren't you? You are helpless and you have no resource. So it is a story, this song. The Gettys in their book talk about how their song, In Christ Alone, has become something of the story for loads and loads of people. That's a song that Anne chose for her dad's Thanksgiving service when he went to be with the Lord. It's a song that our daughter had at her wedding. It intersects with different parts of life, birth and death, joining together and being alive in God's presence. When last April, May, Ron Foote went to be with the Lord, one of the songs in that service was In Christ Alone. It was just around about the time, just before the anniversary of Anne's dad's death, and I tried as hard as I could not to catch her eye as we were singing that song in the service. It was difficult enough, remembering Ron and his loss. It is a story, and it is a song. He sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies. A psalm, the word psalm means a song accompanied by the plucking of a stringed instrument. That's the idea of a psalm. The idea of David as a kind of blues singer strumming his guitar, proclaiming the praise of God. That's what Bono calls David, God's blues singer. And next week we're going to hear one of the blues songs of David as we look at Psalm 13, and Andrew leads us in that. There's something very special, isn't there, about the combination of words and music. Sometimes words which are probably relatively forgettable, when they get connected with a tune, suddenly grip people and grip their imagination. There's something about a song and a tune that helps us to get into our head. You've had it. You've kind of you've heard something on the radio, or you've heard something at church, and you know that that tune is going to stay in your head for the rest of that week. Sometimes you don't want that tune in your head. You don't like the song, but it just gets there. It kind of gets into you, and it's very important. The Book of Psalms, 150 psalms. Sometimes David speaks about the tune that the song is sung to, because words and tune make a song. I remember going to see the musical of the music of the Kinks, and Sunday Afternoon, the musical is called. And one of their great breakthrough songs was You've Really Got Me. And they show on the stage them practicing the song and trying to get the sound right, which kind of included sticking a knife into one of the speakers to kind of make it sound like a dirty rock song, dirty in the right sense of the word, rough. And they had some argument with the producers as to how this song should sound. And there were three different options. Some of them sounded a bit anemic. But they wanted it to sound dynamic. And that there's a kind of pause in the play. And then, on the radio, the song is played. And the opening sound of You Really Got Me is just an astonishingly kind of heart-stopping kind of sound, the birth of heavy metal sound for others. An amazing song. The words and the music, the riffs, just kind of make the song stick in the mind. A song is a multi-century experience. You sometimes can feel the sound of a song. Occasionally been at a concert when I've not only heard the words and the tune, but I've kind of felt the rhythm of the music kind of go right through you. David once danced before the Lord with all his might as he was singing, because music sometimes takes you. It takes you to places that you'd never imagined you'd go, because it touches you. It kind of touches you inside. That's why singing is such an important part of the life of the church, because it's not just a fill-in. It really is a way that we can connect with God. We can feel the joy of the song. We can feel the sadness of the song. We can find words that help us to express, in no other way, how much we love God. Now, I know that some people kind of talk about, you know, the Jesus as your boyfriend kind of songs. But, you know, Jesus is the lover of our souls. And we do love him. We love him in a way that is difficult to express sometimes. But these songs help us to do so. So, this is personal. I love you, O Lord, my strength. That's how he begins the song. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Now, this verse is not in 2 Samuel 22, the history bit of David's life. It's an addition for the psalm. I love you, Lord, my strength. And commentators say that the word for loving God is particularly passionate and personal and unique to this particular chapter. I am, someone has translated it, I am impassioned by you. I love you, Lord. I'm impassioned by you. And it's a reminder that the single most important thing about David's life was God. You don't use this kind of language unless you've encountered someone who is very special. That's the point, isn't it? We use extravagant language of God because he is like no other. There is no one that can satisfy our souls like him. There's no one that makes us feel so wanted as him. No one who delights us like him. And therefore no one that we can say with these words, I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, my strength. Someone has said that there is a pervasive, saturated awareness of God. A pervasive, saturated awareness of God. Tim Keller praised this verse in these terms. Lord, it seems unimaginable that the Lord of the universe would also be the friend of my heart. But so it is. Through listening to your word, through honest and constant prayer, through serving you even as you love me, let me grow in friendship and intimate fellowship with you. It is unimaginable, isn't it, that the maker of the universe should make me a friend of his heart. It is unimaginable, but it's true. It is true. This God is our friend. This God, as he comes to us in Jesus Christ, says to us, you are my friends. You're not servants. You're not hired hands, you're not retainers, you are my friends. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. I love you. I love you. That's the language, the personal language of this song and the personal language of worship. It is a story, it is a song, it is personal, and it's also creative and imaginative and image rich. I love the music of so many musicians. I love the creativity of wordsmiths who are able to put together words that in combinations that I couldn't imagine. I stand in awe of people who manage to create music that transports you, takes you to another place. It kind of almost takes you outside of yourself, transports you. I'm in awe of that. And there's something very creative, very imaginative about what we have here from David. Stunning images of the living God. Really powerful word pictures to help us to imagine what God is like. We need that, don't we, often? We just need to have those little helps to see exactly what God is like and what he means to us in our experience. So there in verse 1 and 2, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. We've got as a motto text that we are to look to the rock from which we have been hewn. We've been thinking about the fact that God is our rock, that the revelation of God through Abraham and Sarah and through the prophets and through Jesus leads us to our rock, to great stability. And what imaginative ways David finds to express that. It's been said three things about these eight images. So the first is that they're all kind of martial images. The king is a soldier. In fact, that's the thing you need to remember when you read the Psalms. When David speaks about enemies and battles, he's not speaking about someone who is an armchair viewer of real life. He is a real soldier. He has been in the heat of battle. He knows what it's like to have his back against the wall. He knows what it's like to be within inches of danger of losing his life. And each of the images has the personal pronoun, my. It is something which is very intimately, personally connected with him. These images are not vague. They're not somehow distant. They are his personal experience. This is what I have discovered about God, says David. These eight images capture what God is like for me. And these images, eight of them, kind of unique in the book of Psalms, in stacking one image after another. Of course, that's what songs do for us, don't they? They kind of take us verse by verse through different levels of imagination so that we're drawn higher and higher into an experience of who God is. Yes, God is that, and God is that, and God is that, and he's that, and he's that, and he's that. God is not monochrome. God is 3D. God is complex, beautifully complex, creatively complex. There is a description of God that perfectly fits our personal experience, that touches us, that connects with our lives, says David. I called the Lord and I was saved from those who hate me. And the song is a response to God intervening on his behalf. David was destined to be king, but the only problem was someone else had the job and he wasn't moving over. And this man hated him and tried to kill him. He had other enemies, including one of his sons, who rebelled against him and almost finished him. He had the enemy of his own personal desires that somehow almost destroyed him and his whole kingdom. But I called to the Lord and he saved me from all my enemies. We need to believe this, don't we? that there is nothing that God cannot rescue us from. If we imagine that that's not the case, we feel that we're unique, that somehow God can't reach or touch us. Every enemy, the enemy within, the enemy outside, every enemy, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, as John writes in his letter. Now, I want to give you a little snapshot of this relationship. We can't look at all of the psalm, but I love this little snapshot between verse 28 and verse 36. I'm just going to read those words, and we're going to see some pictures that go with it. O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. There are some things in life that seem as difficult as getting across a huge wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. Faith says that God has told us that it will be okay. However threatening life might be, it will be okay. Ultimately, eventually, it will be okay. And of course, in David's experience, the promises that came to him in his life seemed to be threatened by so many sources, and yet it was okay. God's way is perfect. His word is flawless. He is a refuge, a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn over. What a picture of a God who is able to be true to his promises in our experience. Who hasn't felt like someone walking over uneven terrain, wondering whether they would be able to get through to the other side? Sometimes God does broaden our path. Sometimes God does protect our ankles so that they don't give way. But although it seems unlikely, we actually get through. We get through that difficult day. We get through that impossible situation. Because the God we love is with us. The God we love is with us in the rough and tumble of life, the mess of life, the disappointments of life. However much is thrown up against us, he is able to keep us in it. Finally, this song is a song of Jesus. It's been argued that all of the psalms are primarily the songs of Jesus. That's perhaps why those puzzling statements that we read in Psalm 18, I have kept the ways of the Lord, I have not done evil by turning from my God, which don't always seem to be an accurate description of David's personal experience with God. We can understand those terms because Jesus is the great warrior. Jesus is the great one who has come to deal with our enemies, the enemy of the evil one and of death, of our guilt and our bondage. Therefore, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. Paul takes that verse in Romans 15 and applies it to the whole spread of the good news of Jesus Christ, which is spreading throughout the world. Jesus is the great singer of the Psalms. Jesus sings this psalm, and he declares that all the enemies of God are to be overcome, and that the news of that will be proclaimed to all the nations. Jesus is the singer of this song, and of course he is the one who, without any confusion, is able to say to his Father, Abba, Father, I love you. When we see Jesus and the Father, we see what it means when John says, God is love. Nothing coming in between. But yet, something coming in between. Our sin, our rebellion, as we saw this morning, carried and carried away in forgiveness. The enemy of our souls defeated, that we might experience freedom and victory in Christ. If your story was turned into a song, what would it sound like? Would it sound a bit like this? Maybe there's a little bit of a longing, a yearning to have a little bit of what David is singing about here in your own life. David was an ordinary man. David was a man who was weak at many times, who gave in to his wild desires many times, but yet experienced the freedom of knowing God and was able to declare at the end of his life, in this story that concludes his story in 1 and 2 Samuel, he was able to conclude, I love you, O Lord, my strength. That's a good song, isn't it? A good story, a good place to end, but also a good place to begin. Amen.